All right. So we've been taking a look at intention, and we've been heavily using Wayne Dyer's book because it's a great book on the power of intention. And he talks about the seven bases of intention, if you recall: creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, unlimited abundance, and receptivity. So when he talks about the seven bases of intention, that's what he's talking about. We have a definition for sacred stewardship that we visit every single week so that we really embrace and embody it. So sacred stewardship is the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. And certainly our freedom is right up there at the very top, I believe. So today we're visiting the idea of holy relationship. This idea of holy relationship is one, A Course in Miracles uses a lot, talks about a lot. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself. Serve, and you too shall be served." So when we are in holy relationship, it's not about the personal ego. It's about being of service to one another. And you receive what you desire from others when you come from oneness and unity. Because that is the truth. We are really all one. We are all really unified expression of the one. It's only when we have a belief in separation that we get into a little trouble, when we get into those muddy waters. So we want to come from that place of commonality and connection. I know sometimes it's challenging when we are trying to stand in our truth and our own convictions to honor the other's truth and convictions when they have an appearance of being different from ours. Some of us who have been very active in our social responsibilities sometimes come up to that a bit. And one of the things I learned being very involved in the interfaith community here in Hawaii, where there's a lot of interfaith, is that if we go deeper in the discussion and find out what is the commonality, that even though we may have different ways of looking at how we can reach our goal, we really have a talking point. Because if you go back, for instance, to the seven bases of intention, most people of faith have those same intentions. They just express it very differently. And even people who may not think they are of a faith also have those. Because everybody wants love. Everybody wants peace in some way. They have different ways of getting to that point. So sometimes you have to go a little deeper to find the talking point. To find the place where, okay, this is what we have in common. This is our connection. And we can build from there. And we've really found that when we're gathering together as an interfaith community and discussing the social issues like houselessness and even affordable housing. We've gone beyond houselessness now to realizing we need to talk about affordable housing because there's an appearance of very little here in Hawaii. And so it's very easy to become houseless. And you can do that very quickly. Yes. So everybody has a sincere desire for people to have a home. And when we can recognize that, we can let go of all those outer issues of how do we, you know, talk about that, or, you know, what is the level of responsibility, or blah, 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 all those things. And just come from that space. And that is a space of holy relationship. And the holy relationship does facilitate the power of intention for everyone involved. Wayne Dyer talks about his experiences in his book of coming from that place of holy relationship instead of places where he could have gotten upset. Like when he can't go on one airplane because something's malfunctioned. And so he's sent to a totally different airline. And this is Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer does not travel lightly. Wayne Dyer is always going off and doing these seminars and workshops, and he has a lot of material that he brings with him, right? So it's not a, like, I've got my carry-on and I go. So in this particular instance, he had his luggage, and then his assistant has her luggage, and they have 7 boxes of books and promotional materials. And so he comes up to the counter of his other airline, and they're like, you can put 2 things on the plane. That's it. Not even any, you can pay extra for it. 2 things. And as he's walking up, he sees, you know, the demeanor of the person behind the counter, which was just really like, 2 things. This is the rule. And he could have gone up there and, you know, said, like, I really need these things, and, you know, you need to let me have these things, and I'll pay whatever money you want for these things. And oh, and by the way, the other airline, I already had an agreement that I could carry all these things on, no problem. But instead, I took a deep breath, because that's what we do, right? We stop and we take a deep breath to center ourselves and focus ourselves and remind ourselves that we want to be in holy relationship with what appears to be the other, and what appears to be the situation that is not the situation that we wanted to have. We need to be in holy relationship with that as well. It's really all holy. We just need to remember that. So he was just coming there and having an agreement. Yes, I understand that this is the rule. And yes, I understand that this is a very special situation. You've got all these extra people that you have to, you know, find seats for, and they have all got their stuff. And, you know, he just came in the space of love and understanding. And then, but how can we come up with a creative solution to this? Got all 7 boxes on the plane. Not by coercion, just by love. And the person who was helping him told him afterward, he said, you know, at first I was going to do everything I could to stop you from having these things, because it was just way too much. But after a few moments with you, I would have given you anything. And I will be at your next seminar, because I want to learn more about this. So he gained another person into the thinking at the same time. And he has plenty of stories like that, you know, and I'm sure he has his human moments, but he's very conscious. So in A Course in Miracles, it says, alone we can do nothing, but together our minds fuse into something whose power is far beyond the power of its separate parts. The kingdom cannot be found alone, and you who are the kingdom cannot find yourself alone. When 2 or more are gathered, there he is. So I love this one. To move from a sense of ordinary to the extraordinary, you need to say yes as often as possible. We know that the universe only says yes. And we have talked about how when we're getting something that we don't think we want, we need to ask a different question, because the universe only says yes. But how often do we in our ego self say yes? And how often do we say no? We say no to others. Oh no, you can't possibly do that. Or no, I don't want you to do that. And then we say no to ourselves. Oh no, that's not really possible. I can't really do that. Oh, I don't have time for that. That's another way of saying no. I don't have time for that. Yes. I don't have enough mind to do that. That's another way to say no. So how can we change that to a yes? Because when we say yes to anything, we're saying yes to life. Because nothing is a test, and nothing is anything but a trick of the mind. There's only love. And love says yes. So the next time you feel yourself saying no, just remind yourself, today I'm going to choose to say yes. So if you don't like the framing of the question, change the question so you can say yes to it. So when we're focusing on our energy, and we're trying to uplift our vibrational energy, which I know is not a word that Ernest Holmes used so much, but the way he talks about it, it's the same thing. And I think in today's world, he probably would talk about vibrational energy. Because I think he would have an understanding that all the love and the law, that's vibrational energy. And David Hawkins, with all his experimentation, which you can read about in his book, starting with Power versus Force, really makes a strong point for the vibration of our energies and the different emotions and how those vibrations raise up the more you get into a certain emotion. So how our energies impact others. When we're being conscious of our intention and the power of our intention, and focusing on raising our vibrational energy up. So you could talk about just living and being in love. Living and being in the bliss of knowing your divine isness with all that is all the time. That's your vibrational energy. And sometimes we don't think about how it affects others around us. We only want to know how it's going to affect us. Because we still are me. But when you allow yourself to live and breathe and be in that essence, in that beingness, your very presence instills calmness. And Wayne Dyer talks about being in the midst of teenagers who are about to be in a fight, and just walking amongst them and singing a very spiritual song so that he's in that space, changing the energy. And I know that Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith talks about the same thing, being with thugs. And when I heard that word thugs recently, being with those thugs and just raising his vibration so much that not only did he stop the behavior, but he brought them into the fold. They became, you know, loyal young people of Agape. They were on this radio show talking about the experience and everything. So we need to remember that when we are walking into a situation and we have that moment of, ooh, I don't want to be in this situation, or here's a good one, I don't want their energy to pull me down. If we are raising our energy up, their energy can't pull us down. Again, in Power versus Force, it talks about the energy of the higher vibration being the stronger energy. We know where there is love, there is love. When there is the light of one candle, it dissipates the darkness. So when we go into that space, instead of going into fear, we stop and we bring ourselves into that space of love. We remember that there is only oneness and there is only unity, and this is just the appearance of something unlike that, which is not the truth. So when you walk into a space and you feel the energy is kind of low, people are tired, people are hot. Lately people around here are hot. There's a lot of hot weather for us lately. Luckily we have an ocean to jump into. But remember to drink lots of water. Because I'm looking around, it's like, where's everybody's water? Okay, that's the mother in me going, where's your water? Hydrate. But I'm also uplifting the energy in space. You can feel energized. Your presence allows others to feel better about themselves. When you bring a higher level of energy up, everyone feels better about themselves. Don't buy into anybody's story. Remember, it's just a story. It's not the truth. Remember the truth. Be about the truth for them. Know the highest and the best for them. And then they'll remember. And that's what happens in those situations where they walk into a disagreement, a potential fight, is that in that moment, those people feel better about themselves. And when they feel better about themselves, they don't need to fight anymore. Because there's only love. There's only the holy instant and the holy relationship. And your presence allows others to feel unified. So all of a sudden, they remember their oneness. Even if they can't speak that, they feel the connection and that commonality that we were talking about earlier. And sometimes they don't know what's going on and they don't have words for it, but they feel it. I was very proud of my ex-sister-in-law, because in the years that I've known her, one of the places we've been very far apart is the idea of gays and gays' rights. And we've allowed each other to have our own different opinions because we knew we weren't going to talk each other out of them. And she is in a religion that believes it's a sin. But she came out on Facebook and she said, "This decision has been made, and there's no need to talk about it anymore. There's no need to fight about it anymore. There's not even any more need for prayers. The prayers have been said before me, and this is God's answer. And even though I have a religion that says it's a sin, I love everyone because of what my religion also says is God is love." That was a very big thing for her to say on Facebook.
Yes.
And I really appreciated coming from her, because I can paint all the rainbows on my profile pictures I want and make all the celebrations and woo-hoos and yahoos I want, but that's coming from me, who was already there. So coming from someone who had issues with it, trouble with it in the past, because her religion said this is the way it is, for her to be able to and be that way, that was huge. And I knew that she would affect more people than I ever could.
And I think there's been a shift.
Yes.
Over.
Yes.
I've seen something similar.
Right. So I was like, okay. You know, and I'm sure it was that way when, you know, we allowed the blacks do more things, and for heaven's sakes, black and white people to marry. Because I can remember it was a big issue that there was a white woman and a black man on Mod Squad. And they weren't even having a relationship, they were just working together. And it was a big deal, and Southern States would not run that program. We've come a long way, and I know we have a lot further to go, but when we remember that our energy impacts others, if I'm just walking in that energy, I don't have to say it. Also, your presence instills a sense of purpose. So people begin to see that there's more to life than the ordinary. Your presence allows others to trust in authentic personal connections. Because again, there's space for that. There's space to get out of the ego, where you can make a connection like that vibration that my sister-in-law rose up to. And then there's this connection. There's a connection of love, where there used to be a separation of issues. And I think we bring that into all our interfaith things that we do. Your presence instills health rather than sickness. Of course, that's one of our big ones in the science of mind, that we believe that we're all whole. We believe in our health. We don't believe in sickness. That's just erroneous thinking. Our presence inspires others to greatness and aligns others with beauty. When we are in gratitude for the beauty that's all around us, and of course in Hawaii, that's no big deal. But we still have traffic and we get to moan about the traffic, and sometimes that doesn't look so beautiful. But a lot of times I'm on the road and it's, you know, slow going, and go, yes, but look, there's a rainbow over here, and there's all this green over here, and over here there's the ocean. So thank you for allowing me to have this time to sit here and appreciate that. And I have my chance going all the time anyway, so I'm having a good time in my car no matter what. Yes, absolutely.
I give thanks for all these thousands of beautiful cars.
They're coming along.
All this abundance.
And shapes.
I praise you and I praise you.
It's one of our greatest lessons, traffic. That's why we have it. When we get that lesson, we won't have it anymore.
Yeah.
We'll learn how to, you know, trust by locate.
I keep waiting for that.
Learn to be okay.
Teleport.
Yeah.
I love it when you're you know, on your way out to your side, up on the hill there by the water park.
Yeah.
There's a sign that says it's a teleport station. And it means something different than you know, my mind's from good old Star Trek.
I'll just go there instead of getting on the plane and I can just get to it.
But I just visualize that it's a real teleport station. But I actually knew someone who used to go and service that place, and he's like telling me what it was, and it was like it went right out of my mind. Because in my mind, I'm right up there with Star Trek. And
there you go.
Teleport away.
That other thing is just an illusion.
You're right. So what do you think it, of course, affects other people as well as yourself? And from David Hawkins, from the book Power versus Force, in this interconnected universe, every improvement we make in our private world improves the world at large for everyone. We all float on the collective level of consciousness of mankind so that any increment comes to us. We all add to our common buoyancy by our efforts to benefit life. I love his language. It is a scientific fact that what is good for you is good for me. And so even though, of course, we want to do work on ourselves, we need to remember that when we're doing work on ourselves, we are working on humankind. And when we go out to the other, the appearance of the other, and we give service to the other, we're serving ourselves. Because there really is no other. So he actually has his numbers. And I went to an Association of Global New Thought conference. This was right after 9/11, I believe. And David Hawkins was supposed to be there, but he had a heart attack or a stroke, I forget which. So he wasn't able to be there, but he wanted to be there. So this is the early days of like beaming people in,
right.
But we did it. And so he was there on a big screen. And there was over 800 of us at this conference because, you know, this was the time and we were the people and we were called to be there. They were going to cancel the conference and we're like, don't you dare. I mean, this was days after 9/11 and we were just like, we need to be there more than ever. So we were all there in Palm Springs and David Hawkins beamed in and he was there a couple days after the conference started and we had a really, really, really high vibrational energy going on. I mean, he could read it. So we were at like 1,000, which is really up there. Because we were really focused on bringing shift and change to the planet. So here are some of his numbers. One who vibrates the energy of optimism and willingness to be non-judgmental. And how many of us sometimes have the challenge with that part? Being non-judgmental. I mean, I think most of us are optimistic. That's not hard for a religious scientist. But the non-judgmental, sometimes we still have a little bit of work on that.
So professional armchair critics.
They will counterbalance the negativity of 90,000 weaker energies. So that's pretty good. One who vibrates to the energy of pure love and a reverence for life counterbalances 750,000 weaker energies. One who vibrates energy of illumination, bliss, and infinite peace counterbalances 10 million. And he said, Wayne Dyer says there's about 22 people who can do that on the planet today. But I aspire to be that. One who vibrates grace, non-duality, complete oneness, counterbalances 70 million. And he says there's about 10 masters on the planet today that are doing that. So those are the Ama Bhagavans, the Ama, hugging Ama, the, you know, the people like that. I know that Bhagavan has said he can connect with 100,000 people at one time. And that was years ago. It may have improved since then. Oh my God, that's a lot of people. And now we're talking about 10 million and 70 million. So why wouldn't we want to be part of that? Why wouldn't we want to aspire to be so spiritual that we are earthly good? I used to have a minister back in the 80s, a religious science minister, who used to talk about not being so spiritual, you're no earthly good. And in the 80s, that sounded good. Now it doesn't sound right. I think that we are both, you know, we are so spiritual, we are earthly good. And that doesn't mean we can't just sit in a tower or an ashram and just meditate and pray. It means that we are really walking our talk. It means that we are really doing everything we can to raise our vibration. That we notice what our triggers are. I love it because every day I have opportunities to notice what my triggers are. But the more I'm clear about my triggers, the more that trigger goes away like that, instead of me like letting it fester. So I have an interesting story to tell. I was meditating after everybody went home from the festivities of the 4th of July, and I saw the fireworks and oohed and aahed of the fireworks, which amazingly I could see from my yard, which I never could before. So that was a story of, there was a big storm and the mango tree that was pretty much mostly dead fell over, knocked the fence over behind us. They had to rebuild the fence. So they didn't put the stuff on the fence, you know, that blocked the view. And there's no more mango trees. So all of a sudden now I can see the fireworks from Kailua Bay that I never could see before. So that's the blessing in all that drama of the mango tree fell down. And sometimes in the moment we don't know what the blessing is, but 6 months later, wow, the blessing is I get to see fireworks. Wow, okay. And the mango tree will grow again. Nobody takes it the rest of the way down. So it's all good. So in the moment I get to see fireworks and I didn't have to go anywhere and I was really happy. But anyway, so then I went in and I lighting all my candles with my fireplace matches. And the match slips in my hand, so my instinct is to grab it. But I didn't grab it in time, and so the flame went across my palm. And I'm like, I feel the heat. And I don't see anything on my hand, but I feel the heat. So I go and I put water on my hand. And then, on the other hand, I go to pick up an old dead piece of charred match, and it's not dead. There's still heat in it. So this finger has just a little tiny little bit of blister, but there's no mark on my hand. Because I told the divine I didn't have the time or the patience. It's like, you just have to heal this. Because I can't deal with a burnt hand right now. There are miracles everywhere all the time. And sometimes I think I get these little miracles just because I need to be reminded there's miracles everywhere all the time. And nothing is too small or too big for my life. So, how do we stay on track with these ideas through the week? First one is to become aware of the importance of making all our relationships divine. So these are our close family members. These are the people that we don't agree with politically, or any other way. And even the homeless people on the street, instead of, just love them. Just see them as the holy brother or sister that they are. No judgment. When a question of morality arises concerning how you should act with others, simply ask, what would a Messiah do? Remember, we used to have those little bracelets, what would Jesus do? And then somebody came out with, what would Buddha do? And there's probably one that says, you know, what would somebody else do? I don't know. Krishna. Oh, Krishna would dance. I know what Krishna would do. Krishna dances and plays his flute. I love Krishna. He's a happy God all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, don't ask him about, never mind. He had many concubines and wives, that's all I'm going to say. Keep track of the judgments you direct towards yourself and others. So again, you know, that's paying attention to the triggers, paying attention to that little hamster wheel of a mind that we all have. When you get into judgment, like, you know, that guy that cut me off, let's go back to traffic. For that woman that cut me off, just forced her way, okay. Love them. Whatever others want it for them so strongly that you dispense this energy outward, which is, of course, what we do when we do spiritual mind treatment. And you go to the essence of it, what they want. Because sometimes what we think we want is something that may not be healthy for our physical body or our mental, emotional body, either one or both. But there's something behind that. That is the essence of that. Which is probably one of those seven faces of intention. So go back to one of those and pray for that. If you can't pray that this person is still with this person, because you know that person is not a good person for them to be with, or you have that judgment, just know that they experience love in its highest form. And the universe will work it all out, because that's what the universe can say yes to. And that's what you can say yes to. Be continually alert that simply thinking and feeling in harmony with the seven faces of intention, you will be counterbalancing thousands. Isn't that an amazing thought, an amazing idea? That every moment that I can breathe, stop, remember love, I am counterbalancing everything that looks unlike love. There shall be war no more. Every moment that I can stop and breathe and remember abundance, there is a greater experience of abundance all throughout the world. And there shall be poverty no more. It sounds like a tall order, but it's only a tall order to our ego. Nothing is a tall order for God. Because God only says what? Yes. I love that. I love that God only says yes. It's like a candy store. What do I want? I know I want more love. I know I want more life. I definitely want more abundance, financial abundance and other abundance. I'm very clear. I want financial abundance and other abundance experiencing in my life and other people's life. I want there to be affordable housing for everyone. I can delineate that. There's no issue with that. That doesn't hurt anybody for there to be affordable housing for everyone. And I don't need to tell God what that looks like or how it should happen. But there is, everyone has a home. Everyone has a roof over their head. They want a roof over their head. It's done. It's the truth. And it's all good and all done. So can we do that this week?
It'll be a constant challenge.
Isn't that wonderful how we create that? When I was looking at holy relationship, the idea of the twin flame came up, and we think in very romantic terms sometimes about this idea of the twin flame, that we have this soul partner and it's supposed to be all rosy and wonderful and our true love, you know, like we're going to come out and sing like Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella about our Prince Charming. The truth about the twin flame is that those are the people who trigger us the most. Who give us more opportunity for growth and allow us to work through them so that we both come up to a higher vibration. Yay, God. But it's not always fun. It's not always easy. Because our egos like to play. I think really everybody on the planet is probably our twin flame. And they're all here in this wonderful playground for us to learn from. Yay, God. All right. So you have your homework assignment for next week. And I want to hear all about it next Sunday. All right. And this is our wonderful quote from Wayne Dyer that says that we should say every day. When you walk across the fields with your mind pure and holy, then from all the stones and all the growing things and all animals, the sparks of their soul come out and cling to you, and then they are purified and become a holy fire in you. I love that. So let's take a moment and just breathe in. Breathe in this idea of the purity of our intention, this idea that we can affect the energy of millions. Because we know that God is all that is, that God is the power and the presence and the divine energy. God is the source. And we know that we are one in, of, as, round about and through this divine energy, that all that God is, we are. We are the unique, wonderful self-expression of the One, unified with the All. So that every expression of God is our expression too. So that as God is abundance and balance and beauty, we are that. As God is perfect health and wholeness, we are that. As God is oneness and wisdom, harmony and freedom, peace, we are that. So we speak our word now for all those that we are holding in our hearts and minds, and I give you this opportunity in this moment to say the name out loud of anyone you would like to include in our circle of love and light today. So I will claim this for Sana, for Rick,
Kim,
for Mary,
and
and we see their divine perfection, their divine wholeness. That anything that has the appearance unlike that just melts away in this moment. And the truth is their experience right here in this moment. And knowing that is so, I give my deep and grateful thanks for this. Thank you. And knowing it so, I release it and let it go. Together we say, and so it is. All right. Frank will sing Amazing Grace.